Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I want to thank you for listening in today. You are hearing the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits on Highway 105 South. You take a right on Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, and I would like to invite you to come and be with us. If you do not have a church home, or you're looking for a church home, or you're visiting in the area, we'd love for you to come out and be with us in any or all of our services. We have Sunday school every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. for all ages. That includes from the little ones all the way. We have college class, teen class, right up through the adults. And so we'd find a place for you. And we have visitors on a regular basis. We thank the Lord for that. And we had several last Sunday, but we'd love for you to come and visit with us. We have visitors throughout the year that are just in the high country, and they're looking at leaves or skiing or vacating. And we've had several through the years that have come and visited with us when they're in the area. And so we'd love for you to come by. We have a church website that has a lot of our information on there, mountlebanonbc.org. You can also find archives of this radio ministry and also sermons from week to week. And so there's a lot of information on there. We want to welcome all of our visitors here on AM 1450 WATA. And then if you're listening on Saturday morning at on WZAP 690 AM, this is rebroadcast on Saturday mornings over in the Bristol area on 690. We appreciate our listeners over there. And then out in North Dakota, KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth. And so we appreciate our listeners there as well, and Brother Whittemore and the church. And we appreciate the radio ministry. That church has a radio station. What a blessing. And so we do appreciate all of our listeners. If you are a regular listener, you'll know that for the past several weeks, we've been discussing the subject, Signs of the Times. Looking at this subject, Signs of the Times. People say, well, it's just a sign of the times. What does that mean? Or somebody might say, well, that's just like the Bible says. What do we mean by that? Does the Bible really say things about whatever's going on in society? There's a lot of things we could pick out. Well, it does. And that's what we've been looking at, is the specific signs of the times that the Bible talks about. And every week, I've given just a short review of the previous week's subject. I'm just going to take a moment to do that right now. But last week, we talked about the subject of false teachers. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "There shall be false teachers among you." There's much of that. We're not going to go through all these things again, but we talked about false teachers, false prophets. The week before that, we talked about the subject of apostasy. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3, that day, talking about the day of the Lord or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That is an apostasy. That's where we get our word apostasy from. It means defection from the truth. We gave several examples and talked about that. Then the first week we talked about scoffers concerning the Lord's return. 2 Peter 3 verses 3 and 4, verse number 3 specifically says, "There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" And there are many that would say about the coming of the Lord, they'd say, "I've heard that all my life." They'd say, "Nothing ever changes. you're just making up and things along these lines. So scoffers concerning the Lord's return, there's much of that as well. Now today we're going to talk about the subject of spiritism or demonology. This is not a pleasant subject for me to deal with. I don't like to spend a lot of time studying these things, although I teach a class in Bible college, and it's called Kingdom of the Cults, and so we spend a good time of the year when that class rotation rolls around dealing with cults and the occult. And just to be honest, it's a depressing subject, but we feel like we need to deal with this, and so we're going to talk about spiritism, demons, Satanism, the occult, things of that nature. I did not plan it this way, but the week of Halloween, what a perfect time to look at and how many examples we could draw out of this very subject. So that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to begin by reading in the Bible 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Several things we could point out in these three verses. We're just going to look at verse number 1 and point out a few things there, getting started in the subject of spiritism in the last days being a sign of the times. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh." Now, if you had a Bible in front of you, and I realize we're on radio, and probably most people do not have their Bible open in front of them, but 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, when it says, "Now the Spirit," that is a capital S, and that capital S is referring to the Holy Spirit. It's referring to the Spirit of God, and I would like to make a note that the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. There are many spirits in the world today. There is a Holy Spirit, but there are many unholy spirits. These unholy spirits are what we're going to be looking at today. These are the work of demons. Now, he said the Spirit, capital S, speaketh expressly. Now, I really like the way that is worded there. When somebody speaks expressly about something, that means in direct terms, very plainly, is what that means. And so the subject here is not in question. I know exactly what the Bible is speaking about here, what the capital S, Spirit of God, is saying to us about the latter times. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," well, that is our subject. What is it going to be like in the latter times, in the last days? As we've already said, we're looking at the subject of signs of the times. So the Spirit of God speaks very plainly about the latter times. Well, what does it say? "That some shall depart from the faith." We've already looked at that in great detail when we talked about apostasy. There's going to be a falling away, a going away from, a defection of the truth, a departing from the faith. So in the last days, there's going to be a departing from the faith, going to be apostasy. What are they going to do? "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed," that means listening to, "giving heed to seducing spirits." Now, a seducing spirit is an imposter. A demonic spirit appears many times as a good spirit. The Bible talks about in Corinthians about how Satan appears as an angel of light. So these seducing spirits are imposters. They're not the real thing. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Devils in the Bible is where we get our word demons from. It means the same thing. And so this is what Paul is writing to Timothy about. He is inspired by the capital S, the Spirit of God. And what we learn here is that the latter times will see a huge increase of spiritism and demonic activity. Now, this has always been, ever since the beginning of time, when the serpent came to Eve in the garden, there has always been this element in the world. But the latter times will see a huge increase in spiritism, demonic activity, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Some people may remember back many years ago, I'm sure most of our listeners would remember when the movie The Exorcist came out. Now, if you look at, there's been scary movies. Frankenstein, Dracula, werewolf, and, you know, I don't know, that's even getting back before my time. But in the early 70s, in 1973, there was a movie came out called The Exorcist. This was unlike anything that had ever come out before. It was about a girl. She was possessed with a demon, and her mother tries to get her, that demon exorcised or cast out of her daughter. It came out in 1973. In fact, December 26, 1973, is when this movie first premiered. That's 40 years ago. That's a 40-year anniversary coming up. Now, the original trailer or advertisement, they call them trailers now. I don't know if they've always called them that, but the little commercial they used to show in the movie theaters, you'd go and they'd show you what's coming out in a few months or whatever, or later on in the year. Well, the original trailer for The Exorcist, many of the movie theaters banned the showing of that trailer. They said it was too frightening to show. And there's a huge shift in the entertainment industry concerning scary movies and their subject and what in particular they deal with. You go from Frankenstein, werewolf, the thing out of the creature from the Black Lagoon, things like that, into this area of demonic activity. And so at the very beginning, this movie, they said, you know, that's too frightening to even show the commercial for that. Well, it went ahead, came out in the movie theaters. A lot of the movie theaters wouldn't even run it, wouldn't show it. And those that did, there was a lot of controversy at that time concerning the movie The Exorcist. People were scared to death. Many people ran out of the movie theaters. There were reports of people getting physically sick in the movie theater, having types of fits, throwing up. And I know that's not a pleasant subject to be talking about, but they were getting sick in the movie theaters, physically sick. This was something that just it crossed a line that had never been crossed before in the area of movies. And so we have that 40 years ago. But you compare that to what is going on today in your average movie theater, in your television shows, your video games that people are consumed with and playing today. Satanism, the devil, demons, vampires, witchcraft, magic, sorcery, zombies. Boy, people have got zombies on the brain. And I preached actually along these lines last Sunday morning. I preached a message, and I wish you would go to the website and listen to the message from last Sunday, the title of it. And I preached out of Revelation chapter number 9, but I preached on the subject alien invasion and the zombie apocalypse. And you find that in Revelation chapter number 9. Zombies. People are consumed. There's television shows about zombies and creatures from another world. And people are just, you see bumper stickers and just this theme over and over out of Hollywood. I was studying last night. I had a baseball game on, the World Series, and there was I had it off across the room, and had it turned down low, but there was a commercial for a new show that's on. It's called Sleepy Hollow, and it goes back to the legend of Sleepy Hollow. But anyway, they were talking on that about spell casting and how scary that television show was. People today, they don't even bat an eye at these things. Where once upon a time, The Exorcist, boy, the whole of society was upset about the subject matter, about the way it was presented. It bothered people. Now, these things, people do not bat an eye. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't mean anything to them. Children watch shows that are full of things which God has condemned. Magic, sorcery, spirits, and all kinds of things along these lines. Young people read books, they play video games, that the whole theme is sorcery, witchcraft, demons. They listen to music that is being performed by singers whose videos and their concerts are just full of references and symbols about Satanism, the occult, demonic spirits, or spirits of otherworldly. You know, they probably wouldn't come out, most of them, and say demons. But Beyonce, for example, I seen an interview by her, and in that interview she talked about when she's on stage and she is performing, how that there was an alter ego that came upon her. And without this, and she even has a name for this entity. You know, I look at that, I say she's possessed by a demon when she performs. But she says this other entity, this person or being, comes upon her when she is performing. This is out of words out of her own mouth. The name of that entity is Sasha Fierce. And she says without Sasha Fierce helping her, possessing her, that she could not and would not perform like she does. That ought to bother people. That is very disturbing to think about, but people think nothing about this and they just go right on. And so, signs of the times, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I seen I think it was on 60 Minutes or one of those shows one time, and they were interviewing Taylor Swift and just her phenomenal success among young teenage girls. I mean, they just go gaga over her. Well, there's another one, is that Lady Gaga, but I'll not talk about that. But anyway, they just crazy about Taylor Swift. And in that interview, Taylor Swift was talking about her favorite numbers, the number 13, and things that she likes that she never performs without writing the number 13 on her body, and that she's surrounded by owls and birdhouses and dream catchers and all of these things. Young people are fascinated by that. They imitate what they see. They imitate what their idols are doing and what they're talking about. But my background of studying cults and the occult, all of those things are associated with sorcery and witchcraft. And I looked at my family, I said, Taylor Swift is a witch. She has surrounded herself with these images and symbols of occultism and witchcraft. Well, is she or isn't she? I don't know. The Lord knows. But she's surrounded by these symbols. Our county right now, Watauga County, North Carolina, is involved in a controversy concerning a book that is being required. It's required reading in the public school, the high school, in the 10th grade. I don't believe all 10th graders, but some of these 10th graders are being required, or there's a controversy. I think the book is actually on hold right now, but they're being asked to read or required to read a book, and the title of it is The House of Spirits. Well, there's been a lot of controversies over a lot of books down through the years. There's usually two sides, and that's how this controversy is as well. There's two sides. There's one side, there's people coming out and they say, oh, it's a fine book. They're coming out and saying, well, if you read this book, you know, yeah, there's some things in it, but there's many life lessons. There's things to learn about politics. There's things to learn about what people goes through. And I've read a lot of comments that people say, well, I read it when I was in high school, or I read it when I was in college, and it didn't affect me. And then there's those that say, well, we hear worse than that walking up and down the hallway at the school. We hear worse than that and see worse than that on television. And then there's those that say one person or Christians, one mother, one student shouldn't rob all of the other students of reading this wonderful book. Well, that's one side. Then there's the other side. I believe a mother reviewed this book, read it. She brought up the content of that book and what it was talking about. And so in our county right now, there's this debate going on. Well, the other side looks at that book and says, well, that's just trashy. That's immoral. It's filthy. It's garbage. It's not fit for anyone to read, let alone a 10th grader. Well, I agree with this second side that we're talking about. Now, in all honesty, I have not read the whole book. I have read the introduction. I have read most of the first chapter. I've skimmed through. I have not had time. This is something that's come up rather quickly for me, but I've not had time to read the whole book, so I'm just being honest about that today. I have read an email that is a summary of the controversial parts or excerpts from that book. I have did that much study into this book entitled The House of Spirits. But, and there's several things. I mean, it is trashy. It is immoral. It is wicked. I mean, I could go on and on. But there's one part in that book that really bothered me. And I think it ought to bother any parent. And it ought to bother anybody that has has any sense of right and wrong about them. And it's this man, and he's talking about, he's with this six-year-old girl, and he puts his hand around her neck, and he realizes how easily he could just strangle her, and he fantasizes that he would like to strangle her and what she would act like while he was doing that. And he wanted to he imagines or fantasizing having sexual relations with a six-year-old girl. I mean, we're just talking about real quality literature here, and I'm being very sarcastic in saying that, but it's just wicked. Any parent that I mean, that is just so ungodly and sickening. But anybody, I don't care who they are, teacher, professor, school board, you stand up for something like that, you're warped in your mind. There's something wrong with you. And we'll talk about that later if we need to. But what I've not heard anybody protesting about this book and all of the immorality in it is the spiritism in the book. It is got spiritism. It's got a theme of a lady that has prophecies and sees visions. And what that is spiritism, sorcery, palm reader, future tell, fortune telling, all of these things in that book. If you know anything about demons and what the Bible says about devils, they inspire those types of things. Yeah, the thing in the book is bad. It's immoral, and it's wicked. But what inspires somebody to have thoughts like that? demons inspire violence, murder, rape, incest, homosexuality, necrophilia. That book has necrophilia in it. You say, preacher, I don't know what that is. That is having relations, sexual relations, with a corpse. You say, you ought not to talk about things like that on the radio. Well, they want these children in school to read these books and get all the good out of it. Well, that's what that book is talking about. These things are inspired by demons. And we could take the Bible and do a long Bible study and point out these things. And we're living in a day and a time where just last week, a 14-year-old boy 20 miles north of Boston, Massachusetts, 14-year-old boy is asked to stay after school by his 24-year-old math teacher. That boy took a box cutter, murdered the math teacher, shoved her in a trash can, hauled her body out into the woods. I believe it was behind the school or around the school, tried to cover it up with leaves, took her credit card, went to Wendy's with his math teacher's credit card, and did some other things like that after he had murdered his math teacher. Now, I would agree, 1,000 students might read a book like that, and they may read it, and we may say, well, they're okay, it didn't bother them, you know, far as we know. Didn't bother them, didn't have an impact upon them. But what about that boy? Do we want him reading something like that and having that influence in this day and time where we have all this wickedness and violence and gang rape? Do young people, is that all the literature that there is to choose from? What about the 12-year-old boy in New Mexico that went to school last week, killed a teacher, shot another student or two? Look at what's going on in our society. Once upon a time in public school, you didn't have to worry about children coming in, killing people. Almost a year ago, that young man up in Connecticut went into the school, killed all those children, 26 children, 30-some people, something like that, just murdered them in cold blood. Do they need to be reading books like that? Is that going to be advantageous to our society? What about the college student out in Colorado? And on and on and on we could go and give examples. Yet those doing the choosing of the books and the curriculum, they see nothing wrong with these things and uphold it and say, oh yeah, this is good. But there's something wrong with our society as a whole when our tax dollars and our people in leadership or positions of authority see nothing wrong with such things. Well, we hear, let the teacher choose, trust the teachers. And well, I hope the parents will rise up on this occasion and make a difference. Fact is, parents have lost the top spot concerning what's best for their children and their education a long time ago. We're living in a day when the state will decide for you and for your children, and if you disagree, you're the bad person. And if you're a Christian and you have a moral objection, well, you can just go butt a stump. That's the attitude of those that have the choosing in this matter. I homeschool. Our family, we homeschool. We homeschool for a reason. I'd probably be down there every week, and they'd hate me, and they'd hate my children. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. Next week, we're going to be looking at the subject of perilous times. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Do you know Christ as your Savior? These are signs of the times. Thank you for listening, and Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.